As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey y'all, this is Mallory Irvin and it's time for all of us to live fully. It's so important in this crazy world of ours that we stay connected, inspired, and motivated to be and do our best. And that's not always easy. I'm here with my guests and friends to share the stories and lessons we've learned to help you live your best life every day and truly begin living fully. Let's make it happen and get started with today's episode. Welcome back to the Living Fully podcast. You are about to get your life in order after you listen to this podcast. So if you guys follow me on Instagram, you've seen my home and my closet. And I attribute those to none other than the two ladies that I have coming on here today. So I have my friends Clea and Joanna from The Home Edit on here today. I feel super grateful having known them and become friends before The Home Edit became household names, and that I was able to have them in my home, and that I have my space completely organized top to bottom. It has truly transformed my life. And we talk about today how Clea and Joanna met and started this business. We talk a lot about their signature organizing style and the way you can maintain those systems. And this is just a really fun conversation that you guys are going to really love. And in case you've been living under a rock and don't know who The Home Edit is, I'm going to give them a brief introduction. Obviously, you guys have probably seen, if you have turned on Netflix anytime in the last 6 months, they've been in the top 10. Or if you've looked at any bestseller list with books, both of their books have been in the top 10. They're basically everywhere, from books to TV to Instagram. You just can't really look in any direction of the United States of America and not see Clea and Joanna. So Clea and Joanna are both California transplants, currently living in Nashville, which is how I know them. Brought together by a mutual friend, it was friendship at first text and a business partnership immediately thereafter. The goal in starting The Home Edit was to reinvent traditional organizing and merge it with design and interior styling. While every product is rooted in functional systems that can be maintained for the long term, which I can attest to, there is just as much emphasis placed on transforming the space visually and adding their signature stylized aesthetic. And I'm so excited to bring Clea and Joanna on the podcast today. I am just thrilled to death to have my friends Clea and Joanna on the podcast today. Hi!
Hi, Valerie.
You look so professional.
Well,
so
I know.
That headset.
Speaking of professional, you were just telling me the funniest story off camera of the History Channel reaching out to Joanna to be their tech specialist, right? And
yeah.
Joanna apparently is not the tech mind in this duo.
Oh, like not even the half
far
the tech
from
mind
it.
In this duo. Yeah. This is like my grandmother's a better tech mind than me. Yeah.
Actually, that is true. Rosella Elkind, Joanna's grandmother, is my very dear Facebook friend who like yeah. is on it. Joanna yes. has no idea. She has more of a social media individual presence than Joanna.
It's so true. My grandmother is 99 next month and she is
99.
On Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
And
awesome.
Rosella
so has an Instagram, but like my dad has to go to her house and show her how to use it and like get on.
Not Rosella.
And one time she did a Facebook live. Everybody was panicking because they were like, Grandma's on Facebook live. You never
that's
know
incredible.
What she's going to say. So,
that's incredible.
Yeah, that's really funny that your grandma's kind of got it going on.
Yeah.
Speaking of got it going on, though, the two of you, I've seen season two. Here we go. I mean, to get one Netflix show, like that's, man, I've really made it. To get two, it's a movement. And we
did not, everyone who was like, is there going to be a season two? There has to be a season two. Don't you think there's going to be a season two? We were like, I don't know. I mean,
right. We don't know.
We're beyond honored. It's like insane.
How amazing. I mean, like you guys are, we're kind of the same in that, you know, you kind of do your own thing. You have a clear passion for organizing people's homes. I saw like you guys being in my home. I saw your team. Like I'm so fortunate to be in the same city with you guys to where like I got the OGs and like the originals of the team. And like before everybody kind of did the home edit, like I got the real home edit and it was really cool.
Oh.
I feel really grateful for that. But yeah, it's been quite the journey of success. And that's what I was saying. Like, I love what I do. But it's really nice when you get to see those numbers to also reflect the success. So I swear I haven't turned on Netflix when I don't see you guys in the top 10. And then also I remember looking at the bestseller list because I'm in the middle of writing my books. I follow the list. Here we go. What is it? Two in the top five, like both of your books at the same time or something? Like,
I mean, only for a couple of weeks,
but no one's counting.
It was only a couple of weeks. And like, you know, really fun being number one.
You know, it's funny. It's funny because I got to work with you guys kind of before this. And I can remember like working out things with the Container Store and figuring out and stuff. And then now you guys like are the Container Store. It's like your face is the billboard on the front of the Container Store. It's just, it's really cool. Like you made containers cool again. Like, so when I first met you guys, you know, I saw you working in a few of my friends' homes and a few like celebrity homes in Nashville. And I was like, I've got to do this when I moved into my new house. So I get to have the pleasure of having you guys come into my house and be in my pantry. And your dynamic and your banter is so funny together, which now America gets to see. You guys, you have parts of you that are similar. But you could not be more opposite in so many other ways. But
correct.
I think that it really works like with the business. And I remember you guys telling me the story of how you met and you started your company together, which I think is a really cool story. And I don't know if it was really told on the Netflix show. So I would love to hear that story because it's so fascinating to me how you literally lived so close, like when you lived in LA and didn't even know each other.
That's just, true.
It's a stars aligned kind of story, the starting of the home edit. So somebody tell me that story.
Okay. Well, that's somebody's going to be me. That's my specialty.
this is like top of her resume is telling the story. Yeah. So, you know,
I do think at some point our next book is just going to be this. I'm just going to like have a whole, like a children's book on how Joanna and I met.
The home edit evolution. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, you know, our mutual friend, Joanna and my mutual friend, but you know her too, Leah Hassan from Love and Lion. Okay.
Yep.
Love her. Yes. Yep. So Leah was my very first friend in Nashville. I did not know a single human being when I moved here. Zero, nothing. I moved sight unseen for my husband's job. And I got here, I didn't know how to make friends. My children were too young to be helpful. Like they weren't like of school age enough that like they're useless.
Use as bait.
Yeah, to use as bait. I knew no one. I didn't have family here. I didn't know a single human being. And so I did what every normal person does is you friend date on Instagram. Anyway, Joanna thinks it's very weird and creepy that
it's
I was like-
so weird, yeah.
Online friend dating. But What? It's so, so weird.
Yeah.
It wasn't, Leah started it. Leah was like commenting on my post.
Leah's not so innocent. She's not so innocent.
Yeah. Leah was the one that invited me to lunch. Anyway, mm-hmm. but I was like posting things about being new in Nashville. And I guess like through a hashtag, or maybe I posted something White's Mercantile. I don't know, something. We found each other.
Okay.
On Instagram, and we like moved comments to DMs and then DMs to, I think, email. And then we were like, do you want to like get lunch? And anyway, so we ended up going to lunch, and I told her in our first blind lunch friend date that I really wanted to start an organizing company in Nashville. And I was really passionate. I was going to do it in LA, but we ended up moving kind of randomly and suddenly to Nashville again for my husband's job.
John, so I really wanted to photographer John Shear.
John is an amazing photographer. And I told her I really wanted to do this in Nashville, and she was like, light bulb went off, and she goes, wait a minute, I have a really good friend named Joanna. She moved from California about a year ago, also for her husband's job, sight unseen, kids exact same ages. She had a business in San Francisco that was, you know, part organizing, part some assistant stuff, some party planning things, and, you know, all sorts of kind of creative projects. And she really wants to re-up her business just as an organizer in Nashville. Why don't you guys do this together? And I was like, wow, that sounds like a match made in heaven. How perfect. I love this. She pitched the same idea to Joanna, and Joanna was like, absolutely not. I don't need another friend. Definitely don't need a business partner. That's a no for me, dog. And she just was like, absolutely not. And so
I was absolutely not. Yes.
You know what's so funny though now is I'm like, Leah has only like three friends. Like, Leah is a pretty small.
it was a stars aligned thing. It was very much to be. Yeah.
But I'm just like, I am just like a more the merrier friends kind of person. But Joanna, right. You and I are the same. Joanna and Leah are not. So Joanna, I'm kind of surprised you didn't take Leah's like word for it. Mallory, it gets even worse. Leah was like, okay, you know what? Hold on. Joanna's having this like entrepreneurs little like get together party at her house. Why don't you come? She asked Joanna if I could come. Joanna said, no,
starting my business. I was re-upping my business. I'm not like going to have Clea come over as a competitor. But here's where it turns. Okay. So Clea gets her day in the sun because I was happy to but I was willing to go to lunch with her for sure.
Willing to go to lunch with me.
Okay. Was this after the, so she comes to the party?
No, this is all before.
Oh, you did? Okay, so she was actually...
I hadn't met her.
So then what made you decide to do lunch?
So I was like, I'll meet her. I mean, she sounds great. I mean, she sounds like a good person, you know, and she just moved from California. Literally, our kids are like 1 month apart on both. Uh-huh. Both kids are both 1 month apart. She's Jewish. Like, I feel like we'd have a lot in common. So I was like, okay, like, let's meet, you know? So the second I met her, literally like as we were walking into Frothy Monkey in Franklin, Tennessee, I was like, 100%, this is my person. Like,
how
it was weird.
Funny. So that changed your mind. So then the home edit is like birth.
We literally walked in, we had lunch. It was 4 hours. And we got up from that lunch meeting as business partners. We never were like, so do you want to do together? Like, should we do this? It was like, we never asked. We still haven't asked.
No,
like five and a half years later.
Do you want to go into business with me, Clea, still?
I'm like, you never actually proposed. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't need
to renew our vows. Yeah.
I don't. Right. That's all these awesome. Years later, we have to renew our vows. No one gave each other a ring, a rose. Like, we got nothing. So,
got nothing.
Yeah.
You got a lot. You got
a no, we got a lot.
A ring.
No, we got a lot. But we did just get up that day as business partners. And that night we came up with our name, the home edit. We came up with our logo. We started filing our
on text.
On text. Yeah. We got our social handles, got our domain. I mean, like,
and again, Clea being the tech wizard, she's like, I just got the social handles. And I was like, you mean how does that even work? And she's like, you know, you apply, like, whatever, you just buy it. It's the domain. Or I was like, okay,
boomer. That's not even how it works. Like, you don't buy a social handle.
Well, don't you have to get a domain name?
That's like a website.
I know. It's like a lot of different stuff. But what's really
social
wild
handle
about
is
that
Instagram.
Is that she like did that all at the same time? Because usually it's like, okay, I think I'll start an Instagram. And then it's like, oh, should I do an LLC like a year later? And then it's, but I love it. It happened in one day. When is it?
No.
Okay, what year?
That
is
was
this?
The,
This was 2015. It was August of 2015. And the thing about it is that we had such different skill sets going in. So Clea is like a social media wizard and truly a tech wizard too. Yeah. And I have always had small businesses. So I was like, here's the steps that you need to do. We need to get a trademark like filed immediately. We need to go to the county clerk, get registered, get sales current. I mean, I just like, this is the things that you need. And she was like, here's how you run a social media situation.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Everyone in the whole world knows the Home Edit like they know the Kardashians. Like you're everywhere. No, in the world.
Not quite.
No,
I would say
no. To see that evolution and that journey, because there are so many people that are probably listening to this podcast that like they've got an idea that they're like, oh, I don't know, like is this gonna work? Or like, but it's so funny to know you guys like in the beginning of it, and just to see now it's just everything. But you know, you hustled it from the beginning, and like
we
believed in it from the beginning. And
well, it's the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to go all in.
You know, I think things evolve, but you guys really had it figured out of the gate. Like the systems that you guys used back then in the beginning seem like they're still the same systems that work now, only it's massive, which is
right. The organizing systems are the same. Like we fine tuned those pretty early on. Together again, we didn't really discuss it. We were just like, it sort of just worked. I don't know. It's this weird thing. I can't even explain it with words. But the systems really haven't changed. I mean, they just sort of got formalized, I guess. But they have never really changed. I mean, the business has changed a lot, and we're always growing and learning and relearning and relearning.
Yeah, exactly. So. And how many cities are you in now? Like as we do this podcast,
nine. Yeah.
What's the hardest city to organize in and the easiest?
I would say logistically, New York. New York is just, small, you know, it's always, no, it's not even that. It's honestly more just the logistics of getting around, you know, like
to a container store and get 8 bags of containers and get on the subway.
But waiting for an Uber and like, I mean, it's a whole thing. And then a lot of
people don't drive.
Right.
You know, like
the walk ups, a lot of stairs, not a lot of elevators.
It's really complicated.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. And then what's
Nashville. Nashville.
Nashville.
And I'll tell you why. Nashville doesn't have the same level of traffic as like Atlanta or Los Angeles. It's not as spread out as some of those cities. We have a container store that's like pretty centralized. I mean, you know, it's right by your house. It's just an easier city to get around. Maybe we're a little bit biased because this is the city that we worked in ourselves. So, you know, to be fair, we haven't ourselves organized in every city that we're in.
Right.
So, you know, I don't really know, but I know just from being in some of those cities, just the traffic patterns. And I mean, on one hand though, Atlanta has 3 container stores. So it, you know, but just getting around is so hard.
Yeah.
And I think that getting around is such a logistical challenge, and it's such a time suck too. I mean, that's time with organizing is gold, you know, being able to just have the time to do what you need to do is so valuable. So yeah, I could argue a bunch of different ways for that.
Interesting. Okay. And you know, organizing for me is very life-changing. It helps me live a better life when I have systems for my life. I've always been obsessed with like systems. When things come into my house, here's where they go. But until you guys taught me about containing and labeling, my systems never stay. And
well, that's right.
Truly life-changing to get rid of the stuff that you need to get rid of and to reorganize. But what I love about you guys and what I learned, because Marie Kondo kind of came out before you guys and I started getting rid of everything. I'm not a minimalist. Like you are not a minimalist and you are not a minimalist. And it was really hard for me. It didn't really fit. I was like, okay, I got rid of it because it didn't bring me joy. But now I feel like it did bring me joy. So I need to bring it back, but it's gone. And I don't have anything else. So then I buy all kinds of other crap. And so when you guys came into my home, the joy that it brought me to have rainbow cereal, even when I had diabetes, I could only look at the rainbow cereal during my pregnancies. It was a different thing. It was a different feeling. So in my home, I feel organized. I feel together. It's so life-changing, but it brings me so much joy. And here, my question for you guys individually, have you always been like this? Like, has organization just always been this life-changing? I've got to have it in my life. I can't function without it. Or was it always just kind of like, I'm good at this, so I'm going to help other people? Like, is it personal to you?
Clea loves this answer.
Well, I love this answer because it really is my time to shine as a completely organized neat freak my entire life, when Joanna was an absolute slob for parts of her life. So I'm going to let Joanna answer that part, but I'll just touch on my answer. It's like no question is more my favorite.
I like see her beaming so hard. Like she's beaming through the computer. I can just feel it.
I love it. It's my favorite. It's my absolute favorite question. So I've always been like this. This is just the way my brain is wired. But I didn't know that it was considered organized. When I was just growing up and the person that I am, I can't function with things all over the place, with piles, with stuff on the floor. It stressed me out to such a deep, deep, deep level. Yeah. I remember one time I was getting diagnosed for all of my weird issues. I was in therapy, shocking. And my doctor asked me a question. It was just like, you know, a this or that, you know, trying to get to the root of all of my compulsions and my oddities.
How long did that take to get to the root of all your compulsions?
I'm still in it.
I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Yeah. I was about 20 at the time. And I'm 39 now. Yeah. So it's an ongoing evolution.
I just wanted to make sure we were answering honestly on all parts here. Okay, good.
Oh, for sure. But shout out to Dr. Bleckman. But he was like, let me ask you this. He goes, if you were to throw up, if you had like a stomach flu, food poisoning, whatever it is, would you be able to just get back in bed and relax? Or would you have to just go and clean everything up around you? And I was like, are you a sociopath? What kind of question is that? Of course I would have to clean everything up. I can't just get back in bed if I like threw up or if I got sick. And he's like, okay, so it's wired that deep. Like I wouldn't be able to relax. There's nothing, no matter how sick I was, no matter how, you know, I could be crawling on the ground ill and everything would have to be put away and picked up in order for me to relax. So that's just like always the way I've been. And I didn't know that it was really considered anything particularly special until people would come over to my house as an adult and they'd be like, they'd comment on, you know, the way my books were organized or the way my kids' toys were organized, all that kind of stuff. And that's when I started realizing that maybe I'm good at something that other people aren't good at, that maybe my brain is wired in a way that isn't just for weirdos, but like could actually be a marketable skill. So, you know, even in college, I lived in New York City. I had a very, very, very small apartment that I paid a very, very, very large amount of money for. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of storage. So my pantry was my shoe closet. And I hung all my handbags on hooks all over my bedroom as artwork, you know, because I wanted my bags more than I wanted art. So, you know, it's a give and take and you have to figure out your systems. It's just always been the way I worked. And anyway, I just didn't realize it was a thing that I could do something with until I was an adult. But anyway, I'll let Joanna talk about her hot mess of life.
It's just like such an innate thing. And I believe that about so many things, like, you know, people always looking for their passions and like what they want to do in life. And I'm like, look at the way that you are just in life, existing in the world. And it's revealing something. Like, it came out in therapy or whatever, you know, for you, but sure a lot did. Of people, they have these innate pulls towards something that they like or they don't like. And sometimes it's like, you're picking things you want to do just out of thin air. It's like, look within you, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Okay. That's Joanna, totally correct.
All right, Joanna, you're up.
Okay, Clea.
I don't know why I'm having this Hillary Clinton moment here with needing to upgrade my Zoom in the middle of this. This has never happened. Of course it happens with you two. Sorry. I just had to push this.
Well, being the tech master that I am, I'm sure I can jump in there, Mallory.
You definitely can, but I think I've taken care of it. So go ahead and share your story. But if I'm clicking buttons in the meantime, then that's what it is.
No, that's fine. No, I, as a young child, I too, I think had a lot of Clea in me. I was very, very organized. I loved arranging things on a shelf. I had like all these little collections of like, I had this little miniature penguin collection and I had like
also one of my favorite anecdotes.
Yeah. And I had like soaps, like little travel size soaps. I don't know. I had a lot of little tiny collections that I loved to arrange. Then I took a turn in high school and college. I was a total slob, total, like my trash car, my car was like a trash bag. My clothes were everywhere. I mean, total mess.
Okay.
No question. Okay. Such a mess. Then I think I sort of like shifted out of that when I started having like my own first apartments and that, and then it sort of clicked really, really strongly when I was having my first child, So after Miles was born, I would find myself going, like, anytime he was sleeping, instead of sleeping myself, I would go and rearrange like the little tiny linen closet in San Francisco. And I would keep moving things around. And I would anytime, I mean, he'd be like taking a nap in his room and I'd be like in there rustling around because I was so obsessed with trying to organize because it was doing something to my brain. I just felt so in control. And I just, I don't know. I became truly obsessed, like obsessive thinking about it all the time. How can I make this better? How can I make this smarter? How can I utilize the space? How can I make this prettier? And so when I was doing, when I was starting a business in San Francisco, I wanted to do creative projects for busy people. And one of those was organizing. And so when I, whenever I would take on those types of projects, I just came home just so excited. I just was so excited because you can help people in so many ways. And it's, you know, we're not curing cancer and I'm definitely not a doctor or anything like that. But I mean, this is like the one small thing that we can do to help other people that really can't see past it. And it's debilitating. Yes. So to come home and be like, oh my God, this person feels so free that we just got rid of all this stuff, you know, pared it way down, organized it. It looks good. They're standing there staring at it for like 15 minutes. You know, I'm like, this is amazing. This is so powerful.
Yeah.
And when I moved to Nashville, like as Clea mentioned, sight unseen, you know, for my husband's job, I decided to get rid of all the other aspects of my business because I was like, this is it. This is so amazing and powerful.
And
I've never looked back.
That's you know, and it's an amazing story too, because like you were kind of always that way, like collecting the little things. But then so many times in our life, it's like we have this, you forget who you are. You go through this like weird phase and then it just comes to the surface again. Cause you're like, I can't function. This is anti-me. And it's so true what you just said, because I felt it in my own life. It is truly life-changing. And yes, like you said, it's not curing cancer, but it is hugely beneficial in like living a full life and functioning in your space, because don't you feel like so much brain power, especially like back in your college days, is spent like just looking at like this space that you just can't figure out what to do with. And you're so right. People have this block. I had a block. I could stand and look at the piles of stuff and I'm like, where do I start?
I know.
It's
that's the thing. People are paralyzed.
What do you feel like is the hardest part for people when people are
starting?
It's
so overwhelming.
Think about it. Fear that they're going to have to let go of things. Do you think it's, I don't know what to do? Do you think it's,
I think it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I mean, think about diet and exercise, right? Like, you know, you realize all of a sudden, like a year in from COVID where you're like, wow, I've like let myself go or whatever it is, you know, where it's just like, or you just had a baby and it's like, okay, the postpartum period's kind of over. Now I have to start. Like I have to do it. Yeah. And it sucks to like, it's like staring up at a mountain, knowing that you have to go up it. And so once you start and realize you're not at the bottom of the mountain anymore and you're at least climbing it, maybe you're not on the other side, but you're at least like you've started.
Yes.
It's so much easier.
Yes. It's so much easier.
And you know,
starting is the hardest part.
I feel like taking all the stuff out of there and just looking at it sometimes that's getting on the mountain for me. Like if I'm doing a space, guys did almost every space in my house already. But like, if I'm ever trying to be home edity and like do a space, pulling it out and I'm like, I can throw away a third of this stuff. And it's just like so much clutter and so much, but I think too, something that stands in people's way, cause people will ask me this, it's like, how did you know which ones to get? And I'm always like, you can go online and you can do a virtual home edit thing and that you can make spaces. And
it's true.
A lot of times like the Container Store can help you with that. Or there are times where I feel like I buy the containers, I bring them to my house. They might work. They might not. Like people get stuck in the middle of that process.
And yeah.
Keep them from going up the mountains sometimes.
That's right. And they also start that part of the process too early. That's why the steps that we have are so imperative to follow in the right order, because the editing can be parsed out by itself. And that also is free. It costs $0. So you really have no excuse, because it's no dollars. And it is the most powerful step. It just is. It makes the biggest difference.
Say the steps again. I know the steps from seeing them done, but I can't remember.
Yeah. So the first thing you want to do, and we would do this in an order, because you don't want to start processing the same, no matter how large or small this is, but you want to start with a space that's small enough that you can do kind of see it A to Z. So you would want to start small, like a junk drawer, for example, or any drawer. But the process is you take everything out, which is why you don't want to start with like your whole pantry or your whole closet. take everything out. Then you wipe it down, whatever, clean out the drawer, whatever it is. And then you want to go through and edit out the items that, you know, do not make you happy, that you did not use, that you do not love. Right. Take those out.
I mean, it's literally the edit process of purging is truly so transformative. Even if you never got to the organizing, even if you never got to the containment, that is still a gold star in our book. Because what you're doing is you're making an actual conscious choice to keep each and every item that you then put back in your space. It's not a passive thing where it's just like, oh yeah, I want to keep all of it. It's like, do you know? Even my daughter, I'll be like, yesterday I was like, let's go through bathing suits. Like we're approaching, you know, swimming weather. Mm-hmm. I know you have suits in here that are, it's a graveyard. It's like so small.
You got that. Come on, let's do it.
She's like, yes. And she's like, and she's like, yeah, you're more than welcome. Please come over and swim. And she's like, I want all of them. And I'm like, oh, don't challenge me with a good time. I was like, we're sitting down together.
Yeah, here they come.
Here they come. And of course, like a third of them, she's like, oh no, too small, doesn't fit. Oh, that is a whole knit. That itches me, you know, whatever. So the edit is so crucial and so rewarding. And then when you get to the actual organizing piece, then you're left with the things that you need, you love, you use, or that are just sentimental and special. Yeah. And with those items, you really want to look at it, take inventory of what's left, and you want to figure out how to contain them. So that means measuring your space.
Right.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So you want to categorize all the like items. So let's just say, using the junk drawer analogy, all of your pens are together. Maybe if you have a stack of business cards or, you know, whatever, some chargers, whatever goes into that drawer, you kind of like huddle all the like items together and you want to figure out how to contain them. So you want to measure the drawer, figure out what inserts go inside that would make a nice fit. And then, you know, all you have to end up doing is take those containers, take the categories, put them inside, organize them back in the drawer. And we always say to end with a label, not everything needs to be like a written label, like a drawer organizer. It wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't make sense to have a written label in a junk drawer, but that container even can act as a label. Obviously, if you're only containing phone chargers, that is a set of instructions for you. If you line things up in rainbow order, that's a label. Mm-hmm. It means that your red skirts go in the red section and your blue tops go in the blue section. So, you know, it's thinking through and creating systems that make sense for you. But people always say, like, what's the right way to do it? And we always say the right way is the way you will maintain. So if it doesn't make sense for your brain to line things up in rainbow order, don't. You know, line them up by category, line them up by alphabet. I mean, there are a million ways to do it. Yeah. So it's working with people to get them to understand how their brain works. And, you know, there are a million ways to organize. It's just, we want to encourage everyone to do it the way that makes sense for them.
Yeah. Right. And to be honest with themselves, because I think sometimes people think that they think that they are this person, or they want to live like this person that's, you know, on Instagram or whatever. And it's this perfect pantry with every single thing in a canister. But the reality is they've got three kids. They come home from the grocery store. They're exhausted. The last thing they want to do is dump out cereal into each individual canister. So what happens then is the cereal box sits next to the canister.
Yes. That's so true.
And And so you have to be honest with yourself, because you can still have a beautifully organized space if you're honest with yourself, because what we would do then is have a bin for cereals, and you just lose the box, you clamp it up and you have a bin, and it's still very pretty and very organized, but you don't have this like thing. Now you have to feel guilty because you've got canisters that are empty and a box sitting next to the canister.
It's, you know, what's really, what your team is really, really good at, what you guys are really good at, but also your team, is almost every system in my house has remained. So they did a really good job of asking me the questions of how do you roll in this pantry? Like, what do you eat? Yeah. Do you eat this stuff and do you not eat this stuff? And I wanted kind of a hybrid between, I like seeing things staged nicely in the front sometimes.
Totally.
But I also wanted to be functional. And it's like the perfect mix of function and beauty. And the first thing that people do when they come in my house, they walk in that pantry and they're like, I want to see that pantry. And you know what we were thinking about? It's such a big pantry and so beautiful. I was thinking today, I was like, we should do a gallery wall of family photos in this pantry.
So that's like, amazing.
It's like a
great
backstock
pantry
of family photos, so that when somebody comes in and whose picture's not on the wall, you can grab one from the pantry. You can see
there you go.
Which I'm sure you guys haven't done that system before. I know you've done some funny systems that you've told me about, but that would be a funny one.
You know, Mallory, that's a perfect example with your pantry. It's that hybrid model is actually the way a lot of people like their pantries to be. because they want like a canister moment, because it really is very like aesthetically pleasing and satisfying to look at, to have that like grid of canisters, but also, and I have this in my own house, I have my canister collection, but then I have bins where like, again, the chip bags go, the grab and go items, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, people, you can mix and match. It doesn't have to be one way. If you don't want to be the person who dumps the cereal in the cereal canister every time you come home from the grocery store, you know, maybe there are other things that, other items that you use less, you know, like baking flours and brown sugars and all that kind of stuff. So you can still do a canister setup, but have like your big bins for your core items that you go through all the time. So again, it is about asking questions. And that's why I think a lot of people, when they try and do it themselves, they don't know the questions to ask themselves. You know, that
but
I think
you
that,
have that in the book, right? The questions are in the book. But yeah, you're right. Like that's one of the things, like, how do I even start? Like, where do I start? And then they just copy someone's on Instagram that they've seen that's not realistic in their space or with their life.
Right.
And then they end up being like, ah, this doesn't work for me.
Right.
So that's really good advice to people. Like, make sure that you're doing what's true to you, because also you don't want to spend all the money. And then I'm really particular about the Clea script labels. I will not let anything be labeled in my house without your script. So I just bought like $250 more labels of like everything that I can. It's in my attic. Nobody sees it, but like, by God, I got to have that script.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I understand. I understand
about that script. If you guys didn't know, the script is in Clea's like original hand, isn't it? It's your handwriting.
It is. It's her handwriting. Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. You know, the other piece of it is the maintaining of spaces. So I have my pantry, both my boys' rooms, my closet, my bathrooms, pretty much everything in my house is done by you guys. And it's all done like in your particular way. And each room has its own like, oh my gosh, how did I ever live without this moment? And I couldn't even pick. I guess probably my pantry is probably my favorite space that is done.
Me too. Although I was just looking at your son's closet yesterday.
Oh, it's a good one too.
It is a good one. You have a lot of good ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful steps. I was like 1 week from heaven. I mean, they were like, can you stop going up and down the steps? Cause you're making us really nervous. And I was like, they wanted to just do it on their own. But it's a thing of beauty. Like it is aesthetically, you know, when you walk into a nursery, you want to feel everything else is mass chaos. There's poop and there's vomit and there's breast pumps. And there's so much like, about it that when you walk in and you see those beautiful white wicker baskets and the labels and everything's spaced out perfectly, it makes you feel like motherhood.
Like, it makes you feel like you have your life together. Like everything feels like,
But of the spaces, you know, people ask me all the time, like if you just had to do one space, like what's the space that it was transformative? And I go back and forth because different phases in my life, like with a new baby, it was definitely the nurseries. But now with kids who are pulling snacks all the time and with needing to grab and go, it's probably the pantry. But then every once in a while, like I'll be like, you know what? It's under my bathroom sink, or it's my weaves, or it's, you know, it's just like different things you need at different times. So this question might be hard to answer, but if there's like one space that you feel like is truly transformative for most people, what is that space?
And I would say bathroom drawers. Because that is a real,
or Joanna would say bathroom drawer.
Wow. But Joanna loves like any tiny, like she loves a nook, you know, the smaller the space, the better.
Yeah.
For her tiny penguin collection.
Yeah. I just love small stuff. But bathroom drawers, you're in them every single day. And it's the way that you start
too.
And you end it there. So when you open and it is organized and your toothpaste is right there with your floss and all your facial stuff is right there in an X drawer. I mean, it's great.
I can vouch for that.
Bathroom organization is really excellent. It is critical. We like to set up daily systems, either a daily bin or a daily drawer where, you know, you have all of your AM and PM skincare routines and everything all, you know, it's a routine. The only reason why I would say the kitchen / pantry is because that is Grand Central for any household. Your bathroom drawers are a little bit more dedicated to you.
But so that's why I feel like it's better in a way, because you have control.
I understand
to keep them
what you're saying. You have control. Look, the question wasn't what's more satisfying. The question was what is more life-changing. Mm-hmm. And I think setting up systems in a space that gets so out of control so quickly because everyone's using it all the time. And again, it's not just at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. It's like all day.
Right.
So I think having that set up is really it's transformative.
So what if you have this just wildcat of a child, or you just have this family who is just like you described Joanna at one point in her life.
Utter slob.
Yeah, I'm not going to call you that, Joanna.
That's okay.
Too far from that for me, but Clea did. So, like, what do you do if you are a person that want, or you've paid to have your spaces organized, you've gotten the containers and stuff like that? How do you remedy like an issue like that? Is there a way to teach your family that like this is how we kind of roll? I remember when you guys were in my pantry and you were like, now Sutton just asks for the green snacks or the blue snack. He doesn't even say, can I have raisins or whatever? He's like, can I have a green snack? You know?
Yeah. He's literally
your kids.
Yeah.
You have to, we talk about this actually a little bit in our second book too, about whether it's a you problem or whether it's like, it's a them problem. Yes. So you have to have, and Clea and I both experience this in our own homes all the time. Like, we both expect our children to make their beds. We don't like how our children make their beds. So we then go back and remake their beds the way that we want their beds to be made. But it's a them problem that they need to make the beds, but it's an us problem that we do not, those standards are not our standards. Yeah, so right. I think kind of extrapolating that and bringing it into the family system, like what's reasonable? Like if you have a basket for your shoes, it's reasonable to ask somebody over the age of 4 to put your shoes in a basket. Right. You know, but maybe tying up the laces so that they're perfectly sitting on the shelf, that might not be reasonable, you know?
And you feel like organization is, and systems is something that can be taught or learned?
Mallory, I believe this so strongly. And I want every parent who's listening right now to know that your kids are playing you for a fool. Because do you think that in preschool, the teacher is putting everything away? No, it's cleanup time.
So
clean up. Everyone knows it. The kids know how to clean up. They just are like, oh, I don't know where it goes when they're at home. They're lying. Yeah. They're lying to you.
Yeah.
They absolutely know where everything goes. School is the perfect place to learn how to do it. And it's toys everywhere. And kids are able to navigate other kids. They're picking.
Yeah.
They're masters at this. They could have their own organizing company. And meanwhile, every parent thinks somehow their children don't know how to do it. And also with any spouse, partner, roommate, whatever it is, we are adults. We know how to put things away. The hard part is taking the time and energy to think about the systems and set them up. The systems are plug and play. Mm-hmm. Now, what I've also realized being the organizer in the household, if you take the time in your house to set up systems for your household, all of a sudden, everyone looks at you to be the person who then is in charge of that, of handling it. And it's like, no. That is not true, not fair. We all live in this house together. If I did the hard part, you guys can put it away.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where you just charge them our hourly rate, Clea.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
But isn't exactly that the truth, though? It's like so many people like just become a certain way because someone's doing something for them, or like the husband's the one that cleans up, or the wife. But if you can really step back and be like, you know what? This feels messy. This feels in disarray. We want to get organized as a family. Like, you can make some pretty big strides and bring your family along with you, or whoever it is that lives in your house.
Absolutely.
You know, I get asked this question a lot, too, because I do know that organizing can get expensive. Obviously, if you're using the home edit, you're using the premium top of the line. Like, you're paying them for their service. You're paying for the containers, the labels, everything. That's like, that's going to be an investment. But if someone's on a budget, how do you feel? Like, do you feel that there's a way to organize in a home edit system for a person that's on a budget?
Absolutely. And I think, again, it really starts with an effective edit. It's free. Mm-hmm. It costs absolutely no money. And already right there, you are reducing your footprint in your house to only the things that you need, love, and use. And you also know now where everything is because you physically touched it.
Yeah.
Physically holding something in your hand and making an active choice about whether or not to keep it and then putting it back in your space is so powerful. It means you know where everything is in your house. You know exactly what you have. You know your inventory levels. That is absolutely, it's like 50% of what you can do already. Yeah. So when we talk about, you know, our larger systems of categorizing and containing, the categorizing is also free, easy to do. Mm-hmm. So you can edit and categorize already. And the containment, if you don't want to invest a lot in the actual containment, think about large bulk categories, you know, invest in like 3 bins. Like, nothing big, nothing massive, something super achievable. You can even repurpose things in your own home. We've used someone's grandmother's teacups as Yeah. Yeah. Teacups as jewelry inserts in a drawer, you know, because they weren't using them for, you know, that's special to them. We were like, well, let's honor that collection and use them in a different way. There are so many things that you can do that cost little to no money.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good word of advice, because I think people stand in their own ways and they're like, well, I can't afford the container, so I can't do it. But that, I'm glad that you addressed that, because it's truly life-changing, and don't let like not having the money to do it up big stand in your way of doing it at all.
Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. So I need to know the answer to this one. We got just a couple minutes and I want to wrap up talking about the new line that's coming out and some other stuff. But if you weren't organizing, what would you be doing?
I don't know how to do anything else. So
yeah,
I don't have any hobbies. I'm not good at anything.
You'd be friend dating out from Instagram is what you'd be doing.
Scrolling the gram.
Yeah. I mean, like I have no other skills or talents. So I don't know. I guess, do you mean like on like a hobby level, like on a daily basis or for like a career?
Like a career. But this shows that you're truly deeply home edit Clea.
There's just nothing else I'm good at.
Okay.
No,
okay,
I
am. Joanna, what about
no, you? I have less talents than Clea. Clea at least can write a best-selling book. I don't even have that. So I too.
But I already did it. I have nothing left. So all right, I've already.
All right. So we can play like Mahjong together or something. I mean, I don't know.
We would just be in like a retirement home, like playing
drinking
cards.
Champagne.
I know champagne
is like your guilty pleasure. And actually we were at a party together one time and Clea walked in and was like, who filled these champagne glasses up? And Clea was taking the champagne glasses and pouring another one of the champagne glasses into the other one for it to match the pour that she thought should have been correct.
That was a half pour. That was a poor.
No, I'm glad you made it right. You made it right.
It was a poor.
Oh my God.
Okay,
I mean.
So I love that now we've got the home edit. We got it in the Container Store. I've got it in my house. I love y'all's products are just so much better than anything that they had there. Like it's just made it so easy to go in and organize. So now you've mastered all the containers, but I love it that you're moving on to more lifestyle stuff too, because as you wrote the life book and you know, that second book, everybody realized like it's so much more about our life and organizing our life and organizing our minds and our families and things. So since you guys have already made the announcement when this podcast comes out, can you tell me a little bit about the line at Target with the planners?
Well, it's so exciting.
So exciting.
Yeah, we are so thrilled. You are going to die when you see
Mallory. You've never seen something cuter in your life.
No, you're going to want to actually eat them all for breakfast. They're so freaking cute. It's a very comprehensive line of planners, desk calendars, sticker packs, just like all, it's everything,
it's
all
so
sizes,
cute.
All shapes, tons of different covers.
That's a dream.
It's beyond. It's so good.
It's so good. Yeah. We couldn't pick our favorites. There's so many and they are so cute. It hurts.
Are you as organized in your life? I know you have to be, and you have a lot of people that work for you now that I know a lot of them and they're very good and everything, but I know you didn't always have them. So like, was this something that you guys had as a necessity in your own life when it was just like Clea and Joanna, like our planners and desk calendars? Like, how do you organize your life, or how did you before you had other people helping you organize your life, shall I say?
Well, Joanna, actually, being the non-tech expert she is quite the analog record keeper
with
pen and paper. And so, you know, we like to say that we've taught each other certain habits. And, you know, again, like you said at the beginning of this, we're extremely similar and extremely opposite at the same time. And so Joanna really introduced me to her love of pen and paper. You know, one of Joanna's former jobs, she managed a very high-end stationery store in San Francisco. So she's like a paper snob, truly.
I'm a paper person too, Joanna. I feel
I say that lovingly, Joanna, about being a paper snob.
That's fine.
Total slob, not lovingly. That was just when you were in college, but paper snob, lovingly.
It's just
my favorite story. It's my favorite
story.
I don't know what to do about it.
I'm here for it. It's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Look, I peed my pants. Okay. I told that story. I feel like I can say both.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're so funny. You're dynamic and like seeing it in person and like hearing it on here. Like it's like this in real life too. You're like a set of sisters, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny because you've made it big, like you always are sharing hotel rooms and you're like, whenever you have to like get this, the rooms that are different, you're like, this feels really weird. We got to come together. Cause like, you're just, You're like, yeah. One.
Well, you know what? This is breaking news, Mallory. I'm gonna let everyone know this. Joanne and I have finally decided we've made the step in our relationship that we're gonna do adjoining rooms instead of shared rooms. I'll tell you why. It is big. We haven't even tried it yet. I think our May trip to LA is our first time.
It's a trial.
Again, an adjoining room. So the door stays open,
okay.
Right? Yeah. So we have access. Okay. It's really about the bathroom times in the morning, especially for moving into filming. We need to get used to being, it's a time efficiency thing. So it's not a privacy thing. We still will not have any privacy.
No privacy. Zero privacy.
Funny. That's
no
funny.
Privacy.
That's a big step, but you know what? You've got to evolve. You're ever evolving as the home edit. So
the stress of filming and just the time crunch of it is so intense that we're like, I think we need literally two bathrooms. Like it's not even the beds. It's the bathroom.
Yeah. The beds are fine. Ready. It's the bathroom. It's the morning getting ready. Cause we both have to be ready at the same time.
And Joanna is a morning person. She likes to get up and work out. And I need every minute of sleep I can possibly get. So that's how it became a thing for this.
Right.
So anyway, but there will
it's
be
a trial.
Private moments. It's a trial.
And it's a trial.
Okay, well, I'm anxious to see how that goes, as is everybody else. I'm sure that's
We'll document.
You guys can follow along on stories. What I love is like Instagram is the behind the scenes because you see this beautifully organized life from the home edit. But then you see the reality of how funny and witty and you know how your real lives. You see
we're just a hot mess.
We're a hot mess.
Well, we're very organized, but we're
hot mess.
We're hot messes in our normal life.
Okay. Well, I have greatly enjoyed this and appreciate you guys taking the time to do this. This was
thank you for having us, Mallory. Awesome. This was so much fun.
You guys are the best. We can't wait for season 2 of The Home Edit. We can't wait for the calendars and the desktop. Everybody's
wait. You're not even going to believe it. I'm just marking my word.
I believe it. Okay, so I end every podcast asking my guests, since it's called like the Living Fully podcast, and I'm anxious to see what you guys say. What is like living fully? Like, what does it feel like to you guys? Like, what is living fully to you? Like, when you are in your life living fully, what do you feel?
I think it's being really present and capable of like laughter and feeling joy and not feeling hung up on the millions of worries in my head. I think to me, that would be. And I haven't achieved that. I'm just saying that is my aspiration.
That's an awesome answer.
Yeah. That's my goal.
Okay.
Right. Okay. I think too is just having the opportunity to do what you love with people that you love to do it with, whether that's, you know, having dinner or whether that's having a company. I mean, I think that's a real way to live fully.
Mm. Yeah. Awesome. Perfect. Of course you guys had the most perfect, concise, organized answers. True to each of you and your systems. That's awesome and a perfect way to end this podcast. And I've benefited so much from the work that you put out into the world. It's truly life-changing. It's changing a lot of people's lives and families' lives. And it's really cool that something that was fun for you guys to do is truly like changing the lives of people across the United States and around the world.
No,
we
really
love
grateful.
You, Mallory.
Yeah, Mallory, you're the best.
Yes, you guys are the best. And
come
I
over and
you
swim.
Guys doing this, and let's get together sometime soon.
Yeah,
all your
absolutely.
Friends. Yeah,
absolutely.
Swim date. Swim date.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Living Fully podcast. I'm going to put everything home edit, including their books and their lines and their social handles that they bought and everything else in the show notes. And thanks again, Clea and Joanna, for coming on. And thanks to everyone for listening.
Thanks for joining us on Living Fully with Mallory Irvin. And remember to subscribe so you don't miss a single minute of encouragement and inspiration to live your best life. Want more? Join us on MalloryIrvin.com so we can connect with you on Instagram and YouTube. Start living your life now. You've only got one. We'll see you next time.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big.